On Monday, we went to a cancer hospital and church called Divine Providence. This is a place of great significance in recent history. The Roman Catholic Archbishop Oscar Romero lived and served there. He had been chosen by the Roman Catholic Church in the time of the war as a moderate, and he did so with the support of the wealthy families. Over time, he could not ignore the struggles of his own people. He became what they call the voice of the voiceless, and he began telling the soldiers to stop killing their own countrymen. The people loved him. The church said he'd gone crazy. One day, in church, shortly after his homily, a red Volvo pulled up at the back of the church. A man got up, and Romero was shot dead, shot in the chest. He fell over in the church with his hands up, as priests do, and fell backwards. We stood in that spot. We walked next door to visit where his modest little apartment was. Romero stood for his people and encouraged them to stand up for themselves. Some say that the church encouraged or allowed the murder of the rebellious archbishop. Today, he's venerated as a savior and a prophet and a teacher. Later that day, we visited the National Cathedral, and in that stunningly extravagant church in a poor country, the main attraction is the body of Archbishop Romero, which they keep in the basement. So perhaps the church isn't so proud of him, but the people are. On Tuesday, we met with the Episcopal Bishop Martin Barahona, who started Christusol. Christusol, which means Christ in El Salvador, is the human rights organization that's responsible for our trip. The bishop is a very warm and even more humble man, and he explained to us that in just 20 short years since the end of the war, the Salvadoran people have won the right to think and to speak. And he lets us know without shame that about 80% of his countrymen have nothing. A woman of our group asked of him, "Bishop, what message would you like me to take back to my people in Boston?" The bishop was thoughtful before he replied, and he said to her, "Are you happy in El Salvador?" And she says, "Oh, yeah." He said, "Do you like the Salvadoran people?" She said, "Very much." He said, "Do they seem happy to you?" He said, "Yes, they do." The bishop smiled and said, "Tell them that. And tell them to come see us." This is quite a different strategy from having a picture of a child with a bloated belly and flies around its head so you can get money for your cause. The bishop would disdain your pity and hope you would see their pride in the fact that although poor, that in just 20 years they've won the right to think and to speak. Later that day, we went to a village called Nuevo Esperanza. These people left El Salvador and were in self-imposed exile in Nicaragua for 11 years. After the war, they returned home to start their own community called New Hope. See, after the war, there was a Land Reform Act, and anyone who owned more than 300 acres had to give some back to the people. We saw a huge herd of cattle. We followed them. We saw fields of sugarcane. 500 people live there, and they are well organized. They have water throughout the community, but not in the home. The water is cold only, and colder than my personal preference for taking a shower. But they've built a church, a school, a library, and they've gotten a grant for a museum. They live in an entirely communal style where they share all the money and they share all the chores. When I got up at 5 o'clock, they were all headed to work or at work. They have created Cuban-style hospitals which bring the needs to the community in small buildings with a few professionals rather than having the people go far away to a big hospital because getting far away is pretty difficult. At night, the local youth play music for us. And I met quite a few men that were ex-combatants. They didn't talk about the war, but they did let me know how proud they were of their work, their community, and of being able to return to their home. In a country where the crops are grown on steep hills, they have become proficient enough to raise enough corn to fill themselves and to sell some back to the government. They have sent some of their youth off to university, where they have returned with increased knowledge of agriculture. On Wednesday, we visited El Carmen. El Carmen is in a far-off land across the river in El Salvador, and a land that was therefore inaccessible after the bridges were destroyed in the war. These people are mostly ex-combatants, and they're interesting and patriotic guys that I talked to as well as I could. In a largely Catholic country, this entire community has made a decision to become Episcopal. They have also decided that everyone who joins them will be Episcopal or else. They believe in Cristosal for the simple reason that Cristosal values their efforts and they provide some support in dealing with their backwards government. They see God in this. After the war, they were displaced and sent to this part of the country out in the boondocks. We rode in, you can use the word rode, in the back of a pickup truck, up and down hills on a road where you thought the pickup truck might just disappear. That was from the water, from the rain, from the rainy season. But we made that ride to visit them in their homes. In their community, they have a tractor and they have a truck. And that's it. We saw the water supply they had built, and they are working on creating a chicken co-op to increase revenue for themselves. To welcome us into the community, there was a Bible study with Deacon Antonio. And Deacon Antonio is so warm and engaging, and his smile is so hard, so beautiful and so constant that it's hard not to look at. So that we'd be able to get to know each other, we're put into Bible study groups and mixed in with the locals. Not so easy for me to talk to the locals. But as always, the people were hospitable and amazingly generous. On Thursday, we went to a place that I can't say. La Anemona, which means anemone. Which might have been the most interesting of days for me. Of the 1,000 or so homes in that area, we visited the most improved. There were a long line of tin shacks, a room or two in each. The dirt floors were swept clean and the children and the chickens walked in and out freely. There was water nearby, but electric to every home. They took us for a walk around an area where there was a deep and beautiful chasm. And it seemed to go from the edge of the road, it seemed to go down endlessly. And we could see the big circle of this chasm. There were a few abandoned homes that hung and clung right to the very edge of the deep valley. I learned that in 2009, when Hurricane Ida came and an earthquake came at the same time, that the entire community had been swallowed up when the land disappeared beneath them. The land sunk under their feet and under their homes. And these were nice homes, brick and tile and plaster, and we could see that in the remains. Now, 4 years later, they're awaiting permission from a thunderously slow government to give them permission to build on adjacent land. Until then, they're squatters in shacks. We spent a good part of the afternoon with these people in fellowship and in the lunch that they prepared for us. We colored with their children. We played soccer with their teenagers. We lost. Koshy allowed 2 goals. Nice goalie. They showed us proudly around their homes and their community. Never once did they complain, and I don't think it occurs to them to do so. On Friday, we visited a church of rebel Catholics, but they were not in an approved church. They have spoken out that the church was a part of the Archbishop Romero's murder. You could see that they had gone to great pains to prepare their church for our visit. And they tell the story of their own country and their Christianity in art and music and poems. And I reflect on the story of Martha and Mary. What can I do? What can I do? What do I have to offer to people such as this? And as I become aware that I have nothing to give, I am aware of what they've given me. This is a country where the grass is greener on your own side of the fence, not on the other side. They accept what they have. We have visited a poor country economically, a country now held back by their own government, but this is not a country that is poor in spirit. In terms of spirit, they are rich people. Never once did anyone there indicate that they wanted money from the rich American. They offered to me what they hoped to get back. Friendship. These are people that learned to live in hope and solidarity, and they would be pleased if you would join them. If I have painted a picture of poor people in a poor country, then I've misled you and I've insulted them. The best American framework that I can place them in is to call them settlers. People of courage that went out to start over in creating something of their own, something for their family. Think of where the American settlers were in 20 years, and they didn't have to work through a backwards government. I don't know if I'll ever return to El Salvador, but I do feel that finally I have some sense of mission that is meaningful and perhaps even helpful. Something beyond writing a check. Something in line with the words of the wise man who's not such a great goalie, who told me that the first responsibility of the church is mission. I believe the caring Christians search for a way to be a missionary in a meaningful way. I believe that we all do. I've learned that good mission work is not trying to build a dam in a jungle, but to ask people if they deserve to have water in their homes. If they can sense that they are worthy of this in the eyes of God, then perhaps they can see that all poverty is caused by injustice. And if they're willing to fight the injustice, then you will help them as needed, or stand in solidarity with them. It is asking them if they really want to get their children beyond the ninth grade. And if so, then what will the work be? And what will the process be? Finally, I believe that everyone here can identify a community in need. Can't you? For some, it's Central America. It might be Africa or Russia or somewhere quite close to your home. I believe also that we would all happily offer to help if we thought we could really be helpful. Well, I'm offering to help you right now. Go to El Salvador or anywhere else that engages in liberation theology. Learn how to serve others not in charity but in dignity and equality. Begin right now. Seek out the missionaries that are here or anywhere else and begin to learn by asking them. They'll tell you. Make a promise to yourself to become a missionary. And do this in response to one of those five baptismal promises that we've all made. To seek and to serve Christ in all of us. Amen.